I'm sitting there, a broken leg, no painkillers. I'm going into shock, no food, no water. And I really thought this could be it. There was a part of me that had to make peace in that moment with my life. And I think there's kind of two resolutions simultaneously took place. You can go into, oh my God, my life is over. I don't deserve this. I'm a victim of life. Or you could turn around and go, this is it. This could be it. And what have I got gratitude for in my life? But simultaneously, what was also happening was, what if I get out of this mess? How do I want to live my life? And so that was a real kind of like aha moment. And that was actually a very powerful year for me, because that was the exact same year that I found the property, I found the location for what would become my yoga retreat in Costa Rica.
Welcome to Unleash Thyself, a podcast where we journey into the depths of personal transformation, spirituality, and growth. I'm your host, Constantine Morun, and today, get ready for an incredible story. We're chatting with Yogi Aaron, a man who's taken a path less traveled, starting from the Canadian wilderness to the business streets of New York, all the way to the sacred Himalayas and the jungles of Costa Rica. Yogi Aaron isn't your average yoga teacher. He's all about shaking things up with his approach to yoga called Ayama, where it's not just about stretching, but activating muscles to live without pain. He's also the guy who started Men's Naked Yoga, showing us he's not afraid to push boundaries. Now, his journey has had some serious ups and downs. He survived a near-death experience in the mountains that gave him a whole new outlook on life. And now he's built a beautiful yoga retreat in Costa Rica, where he helps others find their path to wellness. Today, Yogi Aaron is here to share how yoga changed his life and how his revolutionary methods could change yours too. Whether it's living pain-free, finding your life purpose, or just wanting to feel young for as long as possible, Yogi Aaron has some insights you'll want to hear. So sit back, relax, and let's dive into the world of Yogi Aaron, where every breath and movement is a step towards a better you. Now, before we start, I have a small favor to ask. Please subscribe, like, and share your thoughts in the comments. Your engagement helps us continue to bring these transformative stories to light. Now, let's begin. Welcome, beautiful souls. With me today, I have none other than Yogi Aaron. Aaron, it's such a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, I've had a chance to read up on your story, had a chance to check out your YouTube and all the other amazing content you put out, and I'm blown away. So it's such an honor to see with you today. So let's jump right into it. You are following your dream. You are doing exactly what you love. But that's not always been the case, right?
It's been challenging at times. It was not easy, because I think I grew up, you know, as many of us did, with people saying you have to follow certain paths in life. And I was always a dreamer, and I was always the trailblazer and someone who was always going up against the system. And the system was always trying to go up against me as well.
I love that. I love that. And that resonates so well with how I feel like I grew up. I always felt a bit of an outsider, always questioning the purpose of life. And why do we have to go to school and then get a traditional career and do all those things? So it sounds very, very similar. But I'm curious to see, what was the catalyst for you to be able to finally follow your dream?
Oh, my Lord. I think sometimes in sort of our line of work, they call them light bulb moments. Mm-hmm. And I've had many light bulb moments in my life. I think probably one of the biggest ones was when I was being a yoga person, I love going to India. I've actually been to India more than 10 times.
Oh, wow.
And I've taken a lot of people to India with me. I love guiding people on trips around the world. And what I've found is a lot of people like to travel with me for various reasons. But one is a lot of people feel more safe going with somebody who sort of knows the terrain. And One of the trips I took people on was in the Himalayan mountains. Mm. And we actually hiked in the Himalayan mountains. It was an incredible journey, just breathtaking. And when you're in the Himalayas, it's easy to understand why this is the home of the yoga tradition. The Himalayan mountains have this, you know, otherworldly peace and ethereal beauty amongst them. But on one of the last trips I did up there, I was coming down with the group down this glacier. And as I was coming down the mountain, there was this boulder that was twice the size of a bowling ball coming down the mountain. And unfortunately, it headed right towards me. And I turned too late and the boulder hit my leg in right in the middle of my femur bone. And of course, I immediately fell over and was in a lot of pain. And the short story is that some people went for help and we were hoping that a helicopter would come. And around 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the afternoon, it was very clear that no help was coming. And so we didn't really know what to expect at that moment. And there was a moment when I realized this could be it. You have to remember, we were on a glacier. There was no firewood. All of our clothes had gone ahead with the porters. And I was just sitting there with about three people that were in our group. They were taking care of me while everybody else had already gone ahead. They actually hardly had any clothes as well with them because everything was sent ahead with the porters. And there was that moment when I'm sitting there, a broken leg, no painkillers. I'm going into shock, no food, no water. And I could go down the list and no firewood. And I really thought this could be it. There was a part of me that had to make peace in that moment with my life. And I think there's kind of two resolutions simultaneously took place. One was that I had to be grateful. There's experience gratitude for the life that I had. You know, there's two choices in that moment. You can go into, oh my God, my life is over. I don't deserve this. I'm a victim of life. Nothing good ever happens to me. Or you could turn around and go, this is it. This could be it. And what have I got gratitude for in my life? And so that was happening, but simultaneously what was also happening was, what if I get out of this mess, how do I want to live my life? And so that was a real kind of like aha moment. And that was actually a very powerful year for me, because that was the exact same year that I found the property, I found the location for what would become my yoga retreat in Costa Rica. And so those two things were happening simultaneously. And I've obviously help did come because I'm here. And yay. And by the way, that's a whole other story of getting out of that mess. It wasn't like help came and everything was okay. That was a whole situation getting off that mountain. But I realized, like right then and there, I really want to make an ardent effort. I am going to make an ardent effort to be in the endeavor of living my best life and exploring all the parameters, all the boundaries, all the limits of what does it mean to live your best life. And I can honestly tell you, I've been doing that since then.
It shook you alive, more or less.
It shook me alive. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's such a powerful story. And I've had the pleasure of listening to your 4-minute video on this, and you're going to be more depth, and it's so, so powerful. And even the second time when you share with me, it gives me chills as I listen to it. And there was a question that kept coming up for me that I want to share with you. So as you're sharing the story, right, you've been someone that challenged the status quo, challenged yourself to pursue your dreams. Mm-hmm. And I personally believe that there is always a reason and a purpose behind everything that happens in life. We have free will to decide if we go left or right, but whatever happens, there's a purpose and a reason behind it. Mm-hmm. And what came up for me as you're sharing that beautiful story is this idea that perhaps, and I'm curious to see your take, perhaps you weren't necessarily taking the right paths to align yourself with your dream, and the universe was like, okay, we need to give him one last kick, so to speak, so he can align himself with the path that he should be on. I wonder how you feel about what happened back then. Do you see it like purposeful in a way to put you on the path where you are now, having the beautiful retreat, doing all this amazing work and helping so many people?
I don't know that I've ever considered that as a question. I feel like I was living my life fully, but I don't know that I was appreciating my life fully. And I think for me, many of us, and I'm kind of speaking in a sort of maybe a judgmental, broad-reaching, observational, I'm making a broad stroke here, but I think many people often make goals to things that they think they should be doing, or, okay, I'm going to go to Italy and spend the summer in Italy, and then afterwards I'm going to plan another trip, and then all these goals end up becoming their life. And we never really stop to enjoy the moments when we're in those moments. And I think for me, my life started becoming this kind of hamster wheel of, I'm going to do this next. And then once I get there, I'm already thinking about the next thing. And once I get to that thing, I'm already thinking about the next thing. And getting hit by that boulder slowed me down lot. And literally, I had to slow down.
Hey, it's Constantine here. And I want to take a brief moment to truly thank you for being a part of this incredible journey of transformation. You are the reason we are creating this content. I see you and I appreciate you. Your support truly means the world to me. I want to ask you for a small favor. I'd love for you to join our mission by hitting like, subscribe, or leaving a thoughtful comment or review. Your engagement helps others discover these insights, and together we can continue to unlock the power of authenticity and personal transformation. And if you want to reach out directly to me, send me an email at constantine@unleashthyself.com. I value any and all feedback. Thank you for being a part of this movement. Now, back to the episode.
Recovering from that was an experience. And it made me appreciate everything. Not just like the amazing moments in the Himalayan mountains, but just because I lived in New York City at the time, just walking by and appreciating people and appreciating as you're walking by and the beautiful planters that people would have on their windowsills on the streets of New York, or just the little things. And I remember for the longest time, I was so emotional, like everything just touched my heart. it was crazy. My heart was like cracked wide open. And so I think like it just made me slow down and appreciate so much more after that experience, that it wasn't so much how much could I pack in, but how much was I being present to whatever moment I was in.
Yeah, I love that so much, so much. Thank you for going deeper into that. And how do you think that helped in you deciding to open up the retreat and moving down that path?
Well, it re-fortified many things for me. One, that my life was not going to be forever, if you want to use that word, in New York. And that I was being called to do something on a massive or on a bigger scale. So at that moment, when I was living in New York, I was only teaching men's yoga, and I was catering really specifically to a very narrow market of people. And in opening Blue Osa, it's given me a chance in many ways to spread the tradition of yoga to a much larger group of people. And I'm personally committed to passing this lineage on. And I think in many ways, people, when they come to Blue Osa, they get a taste at least of that tradition, and it touches them. It touches their hearts, and it creates a lot of space for healing. And I never would have had that opportunity had I just kept on the same path. And I find it really fascinating that so many of us, people like you and me, I'll pick on you for a moment.
Oh, please do. Yes.
And I don't know if any of this is true. I'm just I can't even pull that word out, but pontificating, that people like you and me, we talk about getting out of our box, and we talk about the importance of living limitless, which is one of my catchphrases, become limitless. And we easily get stuck in our own box, like going to New York with $3,000 in my pocket, knowing I had maybe barely 2 months to make it or break it, not knowing a single soul, and then 6 years later having this yoga studio, this thriving yoga studio, traveling around the world, teaching yoga workshops, et cetera, et cetera. That in and of itself became a box for me. And because I was comfortable, I became very comfortable in that world. And so getting hit by that boulder was like a way to like get me out of that box, wake things up. And then opening up Blue Osa was like way out of my box. I didn't know anything about opening a retreat center on the beach in the jungles of Costa Rica. But that's, we need to constantly get out of our comfort zones so that we never get too comfortable in one place, that we're constantly challenging ourselves to expand the possibilities of who we can be in this world. And that excites me a lot.
Yeah, such a beautiful, powerful message there, right? It's all about expanding on your purpose and doing more, like you said, right? Because once you get comfortable, it's easy to get caught up in those moments and just continue life the way it is. And I've been there myself many times during my corporate life, so I can 100%.
Well, we also become very egotistical in that as well, and arrogant. And that's never a good thing, I think, for us. It's good to become confident in your field. Like, I'm very confident about what I talk about, but not to the point of ego is like where I get ego. It keeps me in that box. Like, this is all that I can do. And then arrogancy is like, I know better than you. And so it's important for us to keep humbling ourselves and expanding again the possibilities of who we can be in this world.
Yeah, I love that message so much. And it's definitely something I catch myself doing as well. It's like, okay, so let's be open to learning as much as possible, to being wrong, to allowing other opinions to come in and grow, right? People talk a lot about growth mindset, but I would say this is like taking it to the next level. We're always cognizant that your ego can get in the way, that you can become, like you said, so full of yourself at times that you don't allow information to come in and be open-minded so you can make the changes you need to make to get forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm curious, I want to go back a second, if I may. Why yoga?
So I got into yoga when I was around 18 years old, and I, like probably many people who get into yoga, was noticing that my body was tight, and I really believed that I should stretch to become healthy and stay young. At the age of 18, I was obsessed with staying young. And I then got into yoga. And the short story is that it was really more about the workout in the beginning than what it was supposed to be about, the healing, slowing down, being able to move inward. And then about 10 years after that, I met my teacher, Rod, who specialty was actually in teaching Tantra. The definition of Tantra is to become limitless, is to go beyond our limitations and enter the enter the universe of limitless possibilities. And Rod did that for me. He's one of the only teachers I had had up until that moment who was able to tear the veil back between the seen and the unseen, between the self and the sacred. And I had that experience of being able to penetrate that unseen world. And that completely fascinated me. I wanted more and more. And I wanted to understand the parts of myself that I couldn't touch really before. So then that kind of propelled me even more so into teaching yoga, understanding it, and then, of course, opening up a yoga retreat center.
Which is amazing. Now, for someone like myself, right, I've tried yoga a few times in my life. It's not something I've practiced. Maybe I, of course, didn't give it enough time. or have been in the wrong place at the wrong time, perhaps, who knows. But what I've seen is that there's, at the times that I have gone and tried it outside the gym or whatever else, it's predominated by women, which is great. But how do you get men, because I know you said you specialize in helping men, or specialized in New York at least, how do you get men to see the value in yoga and get them started?
That's a good question. I think it's a complicated one, to be quite honest with you. In New York, I decided that I wanted to, quote unquote, minister to primarily to men, and having a men's only space was one of the best ways to do that. Men seem to thrive more so among other men. And one of the things personally, this is kind of off topic maybe, but I spent a lot of my life at that time really trying to empower or create the space for men to return to feeling what it was supposed to be like to be a man. Yes. And I feel like that is something in our culture today where men are ashamed to do that. We should show up more feminine. And then I think there's a lot of positives to that as well. But we also have forgotten what it's like to be the hunter-gatherer. And that's our innate spirit. That's who we are at our core, is hunter-gatherers. So we need to hold space for that. And so that's kind of what I was about. And some of the retreats that I led, one of the most infamous ones, I had 82 men show up for it. And I remember one night, it was during a 3-day retreat. And one night, it was very spontaneous, but we just got on, there was a couple of people that got on some drums. We started doing some chanting. And then within, I think about 20 minutes later, we were all dancing. And like very earth beat like dancing and chanting and celebration. And for me, that was like a moment that was so raw and pure. And I felt that men are just craving this at such a soulful level. So to answer your question, I don't know that I have the answer, because I have since then, especially being at Blue Osa, endeavored to do this. What I find really fascinating, and this doesn't get a lot of press, but that yoga actually was a men's club, much like the Catholic Church. And you look at priests, you don't see female Catholic priests. And much like the Catholic Church, the yoga tradition only really had male teachers. Yeah, there was a few female teachers. They were more aberrations than anything else. And that to me is just really fascinating, how the yoga world has kind of become predominated by women. And I indirectly blame Jane Fonda. Because, and she's really, that's why I said I indirectly blame her, because she's an archetype of what went wrong in yoga. And so she came out with her workout videos, and one of them was yoga. And so what did she have on? She had on her leg warmers, her headband, her leotard, looking beautiful like Jane Fonda looks beautiful. And that, when a lot of men think about yoga, they think about women in leotards and leg warmers and headbands. And that's not what men are about. And so I think we just need to step by step undo that mental image and try and flip the script on it.
Yeah, and I mean, for people like myself that are very analytical, but also spiritual, let's talk about the benefits. Let's talk about the benefits of yoga. You touched on, of course, stretching, and that's nice and fine, but I'm sure there's a lot more benefits, and of course.
Well, absolutely. I mean, first and foremost, there's a physiological benefit. So I wrote a book called Stop Stretching, just for the record, because I ended up in the surgeons, in the emergency room of a hospital with the orthopedic surgeon saying to me I was going to need a spinal fusion in my lower back by the age of like 44. So I kind of had to go back to the drawing board and unlearn a lot of what I learned. and started to find a way to bring more muscle activation into the practice of yoga. So that's my lane, or that's what I specialize in. But here's the secret sauce to yoga. And yoga is one of the very few places that I've seen and experienced where there's a deep emphasis, normally, especially if you have a good teacher, on the breath. There's no other really real modality out there that brings as much awareness to the breath. And so what is the benefit of the breath? Intrinsically, the breath, once we start to breathe properly, we move ourselves from a fight or flight mode into a rest and digest mode. Most of us are operating in life from fight or flight. We're in that fight or flight. We're constantly dealing with putting out the battles of our life. And that's not a good place to be in. That's not a place where we can spiritually thrive. But also from a physiological standpoint, in that state of perpetual stress, one of the byproducts of stress is inflammation. And inflammation has a detrimental effect on our body. And the most fascinating thing to me from a yogic biomechanical perspective is when we start to breathe, we immediately reverse that cycle of stress. Mm. Like it immediately goes down. And if the cycle of stress goes down, we can impact the person's inflammatory response in their body immediately. So people generally across the board feel good when they're doing yoga. Why is that? Because they're breathing properly.
So powerful. Yes. And I've stumbled upon a lot of amazing breathing exercises lately, and I can attest to the power of them. I didn't realize how much, well, how wrong we breathe to begin with, and then how much it can change once you do it right. I'm curious, is there like a specific method you teach, or is it different depending on the situation and exercises?
That's a good question. You know, different teachers have different ways to breathe, but the general practice is to breathe into the belly and feel the chest expand. And then as you exhale, feel the breath leaving the chest and the belly emptying. And when we breathe like that, we breathe diaphragmatically. So what we're trying to do, is to access the diaphragm and get the diaphragm to start working in a way that the lungs can start to fully expand. One of the things that we want to do or endeavor to do is to begin slowing down the breath. And so most humans, the average human, and you know, there's different numbers around this, but generally speaking, it's somewhere between 18 and 22, 24 breaths a minute. If you think about, let's think about 20 breaths a minute, that means that you're breathing in for 1.5 seconds and exhaling for 1.5 seconds. Let's just do that for your listeners. I mean, that's fast. That's like if you're working out or running or something, that's not normal. And so if we start to slow the breath down into inhaling for 4 counts, exhaling for 4 counts, that's doing 1 breath every 8 seconds, which is about 7 breaths a minute. Now we've gone from 20, 22 breaths a minute down to 7 breaths a minute. That's going to have a profound impact on your body. So number one, breathing diaphragmatically, expanding the belly as you inhale, closing the belly as you exhale, and then making a conscious effort to inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 4 counts. The interesting thing is that when you start to change your breath, this is, by the way, a yogi aranism, when you change your breath, you begin to change your life. The way that we think is mimicked in the way that we breathe. And the way that we move through life is also manifested in the way that we breathe. And so if we can change our breath in the reverse, we're going to start to change how we act in life. And we're going to start to, more importantly, shift how we think about life. So the yogis kind of thought, well, we can start to impact our life in two ways. We can either change our thoughts or change our breath. Changing your thoughts is really hard. So it's a lot easier to change your breath. So that's why there's a lot of emphasis on working with breath.
Wow, powerful. I love that and the explanation you gave there. So I'm curious, how long have you seen it take someone to essentially change the way they do the breath work and the way they breathe in their regular life? Because I'd imagine it takes quite a bit of practice to get yourself to that level.
It does take practice. Remember when, going back to my story of being on the mountain with the boulder that hit me, I didn't have any painkillers. And there was three things that kind of kept me sane. But the very first thing, first and foremost, was my breath. And the important thing for people to remember is that breathing is practice. You know, if you're a 35-year-old person, you've spent the last 35 years perfecting your unstable breath. And so it's not going to change from 4 minutes of breathing differently. It takes practice to cultivate a stable breath, to cultivate a breath. And but when I was sitting on the mountain, I was just, one of the things I had so much gratitude for was the practice my teacher gave to me in learning how to breathe properly, because my breath then became my mantra. Inhale, 2, 3, 4, exhale, 2, 3, 4. And that was the way that I was able to deal with the pain of what I was going through in that moment, was just coming again and again to the breath and following the breath and having that capacity of having trained my mind to follow the breath.
Wow, so powerful. And I'd imagine having a good breathing practice leads to the next thing that you talk about, and I believe you had mentioned something to the lines of, you know, there's one meditation that everyone should at least try to manifest their purpose. So I'd imagine it's very quickly tying into meditation and being, let's call it, quote unquote, better at meditating, because I know a lot of people struggle and they say, oh, I'm not good at this. But perhaps breathing.
So it's important to understand one thing about meditation and the mind. And there's a lot of, one of the worst things a meditation teacher or yoga teacher can say to somebody is empty your mind, or quiet your mind, or stop your mind. Like, those are three things that are really unproductive to the mind. The nature of mind is to be busy. The nature of mind is to have many thoughts. That's why it's a mind. What we endeavor to do in yoga is a couple of things, but one is to slow the thoughts down. And how do we slow the thoughts down? By giving the mind some things to focus on. So the first thing to focus on is the breath. And the breath is the bridge. For people to understand, the breath is the bridge between the self and the sacred. We look to Genesis in the Bible, and as we look to many of the great religions, there's always this depiction of the divine breathing life into man, breathing life into humans. And so that we know from that if we want to access the sacred, we need to connect to the breath. The breath is the bridge between ourselves and the spirit. So when we start to breathe, And again, for most people, this takes time to begin penetrating these layers. It doesn't just happen overnight. There are certain things that have to happen. But to speed up that process, we can now we've given our mind to the breath to focus on. Now we're going to give our mind a meditation practice to focus on. So we're going to do two things at once. And we're going to give the mind a lot to do, a lot to focus on. And so in doing that, we then have that capacity to then quiet the mind. And so the mind, the nature of the mind is to live in a box. And what we want to do is get it out of the box. Well, when we start to breathe, the nature of breath is to expand. When you breathe in, what are you doing? You're expanding. So giving the mind that to focus on, as well as a meditation. So my favorite meditation practice, I have a couple, but this one is at the top of the list. And there's a whole story behind it, which I'm not going to get into. But a lot of us, as I said, kind of contract. We go back into our box. What do we want to do? We want to step out of the box. We want to get out of our limitations and into the place that is limitless. So one of the affirmations I was given many years ago as I was going through a deep transition in my own life is I'm opening myself up to the universe of limitless possibilities. And, you know, for a lot of us that find it hard to meditate, doing those two things, well, three things, breathing, feeling the expansiveness of the breath, but then also repeating this affirmation and feeling the affirmation. So it's not just repeating words. A lot of people think that affirmations are about repeating words. It's actually really about feeling something. And the interesting thing about mind is that, or imagination, is if you translate imagination, it's images brought into action. We're making images in our mind alive in our life. And the most fascinating thing that I find that people that my students that embody this affirmation and do this breathing practice is that they're able to tap into a place that is beyond fear. So we transcend fear. We go into that place that where answers to our life reside and possibilities open up to us.
That's powerful. Can you remind us one more time what the affirmation is?
Yeah, absolutely. I am opening myself up to the universe of limitless possibilities.
Oh, that sounds so beautiful. And
yeah.
And so it's about you do it with the breath and feeling it.
Yes. Yeah. You have to do it with the breath. You have to breathe as you're doing it because the nature of breath is to expand. The nature of breath is to go beyond the universe of limit into that universe of limitless possibilities. So breathing with it and being conscious of the breath increases the potency. And then of course, feeling it. There's a Sanskrit word for affirmation, which I prefer the Sanskrit word. It's called bhavana. And the idea of bhavana, the root word bhav means love. And so you cultivate a love for something. You know, you can have bhav. You and I can create bhav with each other. We can create love. We can create bhav with a community. We can create bhav with our partner. We can create bhav with our family. So, you know, you create bhav, and then bhavana means to have love, but also to actually feel it coming alive within yourself. That's bhavana.
That's beautiful and powerful at the same time. Amazing stuff, Yogi. That's beautiful. Now, I would imagine doing all three of those things at the same time. It's, again, not child's play, likely, right? It takes time to get there. When you work with people that are just beginning to do any of this, do you just start with the breath first and then you add the counting and maybe some meditation, just slowing down thoughts and then the affirmation? Or do you try to put them all together at the same time and just practice?
So yoga is systematic. It is a process. And you can't just jump to the end, you know, and expect St. Peter to open up the gates of heaven to you. You have to go through the steps. You have to climb the ladder. And in the ladder is the effort in putting in some effort. So that's number one. Number two is understanding that our mind, the nature of our mind is busy. So if we're looking to create a practice where we can go inward, the first thing that we need to accept is that we've not been trained. We have to have patience for ourselves and compassion. And that understanding that the nature of mind is to be busy and have compassion with that and understand that. And one of the words, instructions that I use a lot when I'm leading meditation practices is just notice your mind, come back to the practice again and again. If your mind goes away from the practice, gently, kindly, and compassionately bring your mind back to the practice. And that's part of the practice, is just noticing how often we get distracted without becoming emotional about it. We easily become emotionally imbalanced. And so it's cultivating a dispassion. Part of the practice is to watch your mind. You're watching your mind. You bring your mind back to the practice. The mind in the Indian tradition, the mind especially in the yoga tradition, we find that the mind is often compared to as a monkey. And yogis will often use that term, monkey mind. Yes. And are there to teach the monkey mind how to calm down and how to be able to sit still? It's not easy. So it's just having compassion for yourself. The first step is learning how to breathe. Second step is to feel the expansiveness of the breath. Third step is to then bring in the bhavana, bring in the affirmation practice. So if you're doing a sitting practice for 10 minutes every day, maybe for the first 5 minutes is just breathing and then feeling. And then the second 5 minutes then is to bring in the affirmation and feel the affirmation. So that's what it starts to look like in a systematic way.
Yeah, that's lovely. And I have my own practices of meditation, but I'll steal some ideas from that. That's amazing. I love that.
Yes. Yeah. Right? Always, if you don't calm your breath, you will never have a great meditation. The way in is to breathe. You have, Swami Rama used to say, practice relaxation, breathe properly, then meditate. Because if you're not relaxed and not breathing, you will notice that the mind is constantly agitated. So we need to practice breathing and relaxing. And quite frankly, if your sitting practice is 10 minutes and you're like, okay, I'm going to do this affirmation, maybe it might end up taking you the whole 10 minutes just to calm down. And that's okay. That's as long as it takes. I did a relaxation practice a few hours before we jumped on the call, and I needed to go do a relaxation practice because it just felt like I needed it. But it took me 5 minutes just to calm myself down. That's how agitated I was. I'm leaving tomorrow on a trip. I'm trying to get done a whole bunch of stuff today. But that's how busy my mind is. It takes as long as it takes. But the trick is to realize that you are agitated. The trick is to realize the mind is busy. Then to go, okay, mind, you're busy. Let's come back to the practice of focusing on relaxation. Let's come back to the practice of breathing. And it just by doing that over and over, we get to see ourselves watching ourselves watch ourselves. And then we can start to make better choices.
I mean, it sounds like this also ties into self-acceptance, right? Accepting that you're not going to have a quiet mind. It's going to take time. It may take more time today than it did the last 3 months combined, and that's fine.
Yeah. Well, and also, too, each day presents different things that we have to deal with. Maybe yesterday you woke up, you had a great bowel movement, then you drank some water, and then you went to go and sit and meditate. Today you wake up, you have a big fight with your partner, you don't have a bowel movement, now you try and go and meditate. So life presents differently every day. And, you know, my teacher, Swami Rama, I think gave one of the best definitions of meditation, which always stays with me. The definition of meditation means to attend to what is showing up for us in life.
Yes, beautiful. That's beautiful. Because, yeah, no two practices look the same.
No.
No. Right? 2 days look the same.
No.
I love that. I love that. Okay, as we're coming here to an end of our hour together, I'm curious to see, is there anything that we haven't covered? That we cover some beautiful topics that is top of mind for you, something that comes up that you want to share with the audience?
My main message is usually one and the same. And it's like, you know, wake up every day and ask yourself if you're living the purpose of your life. And if not, dedicate that day to living your purpose in whatever capacity you can. And because life is short, and that lesson on the mountain showed me how quickly life can not only be taken, that boulder hit me in my leg, and for better or for worse, it was better. It could have hit me in the spine. It could have hit me in my neck, which would have been a very different story right now. So we never know how the tables of life is going to shift. And just wake up every day and know that it's precious and remind yourself of that, because life is a sacred gift.
What a beautiful message there, Yogi. Thank you so much. And I guess before we go, let's tell people where they can find you, anything you want to share that you're up to, of course, about your retreat in Costa Rica or anything else you might want to add.
Oh, thank you. Well, if people want to learn more about me, the best place to go is yogiaaron.com. And I have a lot of free content. I have a free affirmation series that they can access there, as well as I also have a pain-free series. That's one thing that I'm very dedicated to, is helping people to live pain-free in their bodies and overcome the limitations within their own body so that they can go out to live their best pain-free life. So all of that is on my website, yogiaaron.com.
Awesome. We'll put it in the show notes as well. I want to thank you for your time, Yogi Aaron, and it's been such a pleasure. Learned a lot myself. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us on this exploration of personal transformation. Your presence and engagement are at the heart of what we do, and I sincerely appreciate you, your time, and thirst for knowledge, inspiration, and empowerment. Please consider showing your support by hitting like, subscribe, leaving a comment, or writing a review. Your engagement not only fuels our mission, but also helps others discover these insights. For more daily guidance on personal transformation across the mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical realms, be sure to visit our website at unleashthyself.com. You can also find us on Instagram at unleashthyselftoday, TikTok and YouTube at unleashthyself, and there we post daily content designed to inspire and empower you on your journey. If you have any specific thoughts, questions, or feedback, I truly value your input. Or if you'd like to have a conversation with me, or work with me, please feel free to email me directly at constantine@unleashthyself.com. I would love to hear from you. Together, we're building a community united in authenticity and purpose. Once again, thank you for being a part of this movement. Until next time, continue to embrace your true self and live a life on purpose, with purpose. See you in the next episode.